Okay, the question is sharing merit. Does it only work sharing it with our departed relatives, or could we, let's say, attain metta and then share it with others, other people who are not in the ghost realm? Okay, well, I would answer that by pointing you towards this sutta called Janu Soni. Janu Soni. I believe it's in the Anguttara Nikaya. If you remind me again at the end of the retreat, I can get you the actual reference. Janu Soni, it's this one-off sutta, and a Brahmin comes to the Buddha and asks, "So this sharing of merit thing, does that actually work? You know, if we dedicate our merit to our departed relatives, does that work if the relatives are in only the ghost realm or any realm?" And the Buddha said, it only works if they're in the ghost realm, not any realm. And then Janu Soni says, okay, well, what if I have no relatives in the ghost realm? And the Buddha said, well, a lot of people go to the ghost realm when they die. You certainly have some relative or other in the ghost realm. In fact, several. So, your dedication of merit will go to whoever is there of your relatives. It's always worth it. It's never without benefit. Okay, now as to metta, so metta has a bit of a magic to it, you might say, in that there are a couple of suttas, there's a few rare suttas where monks will be practicing out in the forest. And it's kind of like this spooky haunted forest with like evil beings, you know, evil ghosts or whatever, demons, and they're scaring the monks. So then the Buddha teaches the monks, okay, well, you should practice metta, and here's even a chant you can recite about metta. So you recite the chant, you practice your metta, and this will definitely protect you from their evil. And basically, how it seems to work is when we give off this nice radiant energy of metta, any kind of an evil being, they sort of have an evil-ish energy to go with their evilness, okay? So that evil-ish sort of energy and then the metta energy do not go together. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, just like if you put insect repellent on and it repels away mosquitoes. Like, mosquitoes just hate that smell, so they go away. This is kind of like that. So if you have good vibes, then these beings with evil vibes, you know, they hate the good vibes, so they go away. Okay, so there is a magic like that. It has a repelling effect. And I would also say, one will always, shall we say, one would always do well to practice metta and, you know, do it as much as you can, even if there's no evil spirits. And I would suggest that really anybody that you encounter, anybody, maybe they're angry or maybe they're, you know, just grouchy or sad or I don't know what, nervous, anxious, you know, a number of bad emotions. And I feel that by practicing metta, that can influence these people. Okay? It has its own sort of influence. Okay? Maybe not like a like strong and certain influence. Like you have, like, you know, magical spell, like, all right, you know, zap, now this person is turned from an angry person into a happy person. You know, it's maybe not quite that zappy, you know what I mean? But it can certainly influence them, okay? Depending on how strong it might be. There is this one rare case where there was a stampeding elephant who was gonna injure the Buddha. A drunk stampeding elephant. And then the Buddha radiated metta so strong, the elephant stopped. And then the elephant even paid homage to the Buddha by picking up a bit of dirt with its trunk and putting the dirt on its own head. which was kind of a bit of a, shall we say, gesture of like, you know, like I put my head on the dirt, or, you know, compared to you, I'm like dirt. You know what I mean? That's what is claimed to be to have happened. So yes, it can have a strong influence, but you might need to be like really, really good at it, like the Buddha, you know, to kind of pull off a miracle like that. You know what I mean? Many times there's examples of Buddhist monks where, you know, they're out in the forest or they're in a village or something, and there's some angry dogs, you know, a pack of dogs or something who might otherwise bite them. And then because of metta, the dogs calm down. Or, you know, maybe, I don't know, there was a tiger or some sort of an animal that maybe they got it to calm down and not attack. So there are many stories like that. So I would just say if there is an influence for sure. But how strong is the influence? Well, how skilled is the practitioner? You know what I mean? It remains to be seen. And even if you're a skilled practitioner, like hopefully you're having a good day of meditation, right when you meet these sketchy dogs or whatever, you know, you better be practicing well at that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I meant is, yes, if you're right in contact, what I mean is like one person is overseas, I want to send letter to that person overseas.
Well, sure. Yeah, I think you can do that. Yeah. Would I call that a transference of merit, though? Well, I don't know. Yeah, like this word transference is a slippery word. Because it's not like I pick up this book and I transfer it over to you. You know what I mean? Like I had the book here, now you have the book there. I don't know if it's like that. It's not like a delivery of goods. In the case of the ghost realm, apparently it is like a delivery of goods. It's actually like, a lot of benefit actually comes into the ghost realm for them. It's like a delivery. Let me give you an example. I spent some time at a monastery in Malaysia called Nandika. And so they're from the Pak Sayadaw tradition. And they have this custom, the monks and nuns, every single day, they rejoice in each other's merit and they confess to each other. So they kind of pair up. This is every day. The other Theravada lineages don't do this. And so they'll pair up and they do a Pali kind of back and forth thing. And now it's just kind of a formula, and you just have to know the words and you bow at the right times, and, you know, it takes a few minutes. And they sincerely believe that they are sharing their merit with each other. Okay, and neither of them's in the ghost realm. Now, if you read the words in there, it says "sadhu sadhu anamodami," and the other one says "sadhu sadhu anamodeta." Yeah, and so I went to Bhante Aryadhamaka about this because he's from the Pak lineage, and they did this in Myanmar when he was there. And I'm like, so what's up with this sharing of merit thing? You know, we don't do this in the Ajahn Chah lineage. Like, do you actually believe that it transfers the merit? And he's like, whoa, you got to go back and read those words again, because when you say sadhu sadhu anamodami, what you're really saying there is like, I invite you to rejoice. I invite you to rejoice in my merit. And then the other person says, sadhu sadhu anamodeta. Oh, yes, I rejoice in your merit. So, for that magic to work, the person has to sincerely rejoice in the other person's merit. Okay? The magic is not in reciting the Pali words. The magic is in one actually rejoicing in the other person's merit. Okay, so it's kind of like, I'm going to muster up my mudita, you know, my sympathetic joy. And I will like attain to that state of sympathetic joy. And I will rejoice in your merit, let's say. You know, maybe you meditated well today. And I will feel like mudita, okay? The third Brahmavihara. Mudita for your practice. Okay? So there's the magic you're looking for, sister. Attain the third Brahmavihara of mudita, sympathetic joy. And that is to rejoice in another's merit. That's what that formula, all that that formula does is it's a reminder to the other person, like, you know, hey, I made merit today. Don't you want to rejoice in my merit? And then the other person's like, oh, sure, of course. I rejoice in your merit. And then the idea is, and they would then achieve this mudita. So the magic is in the mudita there, not the words. Yeah, so just be careful here, like where the magic is, okay? The magic is in our practice. I think that's really the theme that makes sense of this all. At every turn, it's always the magic that we manage to find by practicing. And so that's why I don't have... That's why I'm reluctant to speak in terms of like a transference of merit, like I gave you the book. Yeah. Yeah, well, now, having said this, there can be a subtle influence on others. So it's kind of like, how can I put it? I feel that we would do well to, you know, always try to practice and bring up these Brahmaviharas. And we can, you might say, tilt the odds a little bit in our favor. Because we might be influencing others to be a little bit kinder, a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more uplifted or whatever. And then, hey, that's good. That makes the world better. That makes, you know, maybe people will be more friendly or more, I don't know what, like just sort of cooperative or inspired or whatever it is. Yeah, so like a number of positive things might come from that influence. So in that sense, we might have tilted the board a little bit in our favor. To tilt the board, you know? And that I encourage. But was that a transference of merit? Be careful there. Yeah, like these terms are kind of easy to get misled about. It's not like kind of a point system where, you know, like there's 500 points here and then I'll give you 400 and now I keep 100 and, you know, no, it's not like that. It's not quite like that. It's about emotions. It's about the heart. It's about good vibes. And, you know, it's a subjective experience. We would probably do well to stop short of trying to like turn it into a science too much when it's actually more like an art. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's several cats around this property. And I seem to have this talent. For some reason, cats love me, okay? I'm not really much of a dog person, but every cat loves me, okay? It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time before that cat lets me pet it. So there's got to be 6 or 7 cats here. And it's been a few months now, and I think there's like one cat left who doesn't let me pet the cat, that cat. And that cat, he only ever came around once or twice ever. Very briefly. Like every cat. You know, some of them were a little bit easier to make friends with. Some were pretty difficult, actually. They were shy for a long time. So, you know what I mean? It's an art, isn't it? It's an art to making friends with each cat. And, you know, that one really reclusive one, okay, maybe I'll never pet that cat. The one that only came around twice or whatever. Okay, whatever. But, yeah, it's... you see the point I'm making? It's kind of... I can't really speak of it in terms of like, well, I have 500 points of cat charms, and once I have, you know, 600, that cat for sure will let me pet it. You know, you can't put numbers on this. You know, that cat will be ready when it's ready. You know? Yeah, so there's an influence perhaps, but it's... yeah, well, you know, you just have to see how it plays out.